Masechet Nazir Daf Nun Aleph. This entire daf will be about rekev, which is dust that comes from a body that decomposed. The Mishnah mentioned rekev as one of the items that a Nazir, if he touches it, will become tameh lamet and all the consequences that come from that, including tumat ohel. Rekev is enough of a part of a body that it causes tumat ohel. So we're going to have to define exactly what rekev is. We're going to see a bunch of requirements, like rekev cannot be mixed with anything else. If this dust has a mixture of something that comes from a body and anything else, then it does not cause this tumah. Or if it comes from a body that's not whole, and other requirements that, as we're going to see. Just a warning: this it's going to be a bit graphic, this stuff, and at some points even a little bit gory. All right, I think the rabbis were just thinking theoretically through it, and all right. Let's see how it goes. Tenor banan. Ezehu met sheyesh lo rekev met shenikbad aron ba'aron shel shayish o al rebe gaber ispa shel avanim o zehu met sheyesh bo rakav nikbad b'chstuto ba'aron shel ayes o al gaber ispa shel levenim zehu met she'en lo rakav. Okay, this Tosefta teaches that when do we say that there's a corpse that has the halakha of this dust and it causes tumat met? Only if the body was buried without any clothing in a marble coffin or on a floor that's made out of stone, because in that case, if we come back, years later, and we see that there's dust there, we know that all of that dust came from the body because there was nothing else there to disintegrate. There's no there is no clothing, there's no wood, and marble does not disintegrate. So this is the law. This is when we have the law of rakav. However, if it was buried with clothing on, or in a wooden box, or on bricks, all those things do disintegrate and have dust, and then it's a mixture of dust with other things, and therefore would not cause this tumat met. We learn, by the way, here that it seems to have been a custom, at least for some people at some points, that they used a marble coffin. Our practice today is to use very simple wooden coffins, but I guess it would be permissible to use a marble coffin. It's just it's not recommended. All right, Amar Ola. And rakav ela haba min habasar min hagidim umin haasamot. Ula has a rule that in order to have this tumat met of rakav, it has to be, the dust has to be a combination of flesh and sinews and bones, all of them. If you have only one, the dust of only one of them, that's not sufficient. It has to be all parts, all these different categories. However, we have a challenge just from the following baraita. The baraita says that a kav that comes from flesh is tahor, period. That's the end of the baraita. Sounds like the problem is that it's only flesh. But if it was only from bone, then it would cause tumah, even if there was no flesh, and that goes against ula. So we explain, Ema hachi, rakav haba min habasar, tahor ad sheyesh ayesem babasar. What the Braita means to say is that if this dust is a result only from flesh, then it's tahor, unless that flesh also has a bone. It has to be bone and flesh in order for it to become tameh. So that's what it meant. The Braita just means that if it's only flesh, then it's no good. It has to be both flesh and bone and flesh. Ha'leka gidim. Wait a second. But you just said bone and flesh. You didn't say anything about sinews. So this does still contradict ula. And the answer is yevshal basav la'samot below gidim. It's impossible to have flesh and bones without sinews. They're inside everything. They're connecting everything. So any a sizable amount of flesh and bones will have sinews, and therefore that will be a combination. If you have a ladle's worth of that combination of dust, then that will cause this tumat met. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shenei metim shekibaran ze'im zeh, nasu gal galin zeh lazeh. If you have two bodies that are buried together with each other, so then it has the law of gal galin. Gal galin means a mixture. And anytime there's a mixture, then that dust does not cause tum'ah. So we say some of this dust came from one body, some come from the other body, but it's all mixed together. And so each body is a foreign substance compared to the other body. And so they are not tameh. The dust is not tameh. Mativ Rav Natan, Rakav Abba Mishene Metim tameh. Hold on, we have a baraita here that says that dust that comes from two bodies is tameh. So why did you just tell me in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that it's not tameh? Amar Rav Ashi kavru ze bifnei asmo ve ze bifnei asmo ve kibu ve amdu al melo tarvad Rakav. No, this baraita is talking about a case where each body was buried by itself and turned into dust. And then that dust was collected and it got mixed together. And all together, it makes up more than a ladle full. In that case, because they disintegrated separately, each body, so that's not a mixture, even if it was mixed later. But if it's mixed during the time of disintegration, then that is considered a mixture and is not tameh. Amar Rava bar bar Hana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gazal Sead Ukbaro Imo Nasa Lo Galgalin. Rabbi Yochanan says that if the hair was cut, that is before it was buried, someone cut the hair and then it was buried with the body, and now both the body and the hair turn into dust, that is considered a mixture, and therefore, since it's not pure, it's not tameh. In other words, if the body was whole with the hair attached and it all got disintegrated as one, then that hair would be considered part of the body and all that dust would cause tum'ah. But because the hair was cut off, it's considered a foreign substance. And so therefore, just like if you have a body with wood or clothing and dust of that is a mixture and is not tameh, so too the hair, since it was cut off before the burial, is considered like a foreign mixture. Tana natam kol shevamet tameh chutz min hashinayim v'ha'se'ar v'ha'siporin b'sha'at chiburan kulan tameh'in. And so we have a Mishnah that supports what we just said. All parts of a body of a body are tameh, except for teeth, hair, and nails. However, when they are connected to the body, then they are all tameh. So this is talking about just not the dust, but just the regular laws of tumat met. Is that if someone goes and finds a corpse in the ground and has teeth in it, those teeth will cause tumah. And hair, all these cause tumah because they are connected to the body while it's buried. However, if someone loses a tooth when they're alive, right, that tooth does not cause tumah. Or if it gets a haircut, that hair does not cause tumah, even if that person then dies. But since it was not connected to the person at the time of death, it does not cause tumah. Okay, ba'ech hizkiya, se'aro ha'med ligalech, sipon ha'med ligazez, mai, mi'em renen kol ha'med ligazez ke'gazuz dameh, o dirma hashtami ha'mechubarin. Hizkiya asked, if the person's about to get a haircut, or a shave, or nails that are ready to be cut, right? This is like, so he gets a haircut every month, and so he's ready for one, or his nails are long enough that a person would usually cut them at that point, and was planning on cutting them, and then he died. So do we say that since it was ready to be cut, it's as if it was already cut, and therefore just like hair and nails that are already cut are not tameh? So in this case also, since they were almost ready to be cut, it's considered as if they were already cut and then would not be caused tum'ah, even though they're attached to the body when he died? Or do we say, oh, demashtamiha hamichubarin? Or do we say, no, but they're actually attached now that he died. And even though he was on his way to the barber, he was in the barber's chair about to get a haircut, but it doesn't matter. When he died, they're connected, and therefore they do have tumat met. That's the question. Let's try to answer it. V'nishot le midirababa barhana. Tama mishum de gazaz. Hala gazaz la. We can learn it from here. In the Rabba barhana, in the name of Briochanan, that if someone cut their hair and then was buried, so that is considered an external substance and therefore is a mixture. So you see, it's because he cut it before he was buried, that is why it's considered a foreign substance. Perhaps it was before he was even died here, right? He cut his hair before he died, so therefore it's considered a foreign substance only because he actually cut it. If it was attached, then he would not. Then it would not be a foreign substance. It would be part of the body, and it would cause tum'ah. So we can see from here that he says only gazaz se'aro, he actually has to cut it. But then we reject that answer. No, all we can tell is that Rabba Bar Chanan and Rabbi Chanan was sure that if it was cut, then that's considered a foreign substance and is a separate. And so therefore would not cause tumah either if one knows by itself. But if he did not cut it, he did himself didn't know. Rabbi Bar Chanan was only saying the case that he knew a halakha. That's the halakha that he learned from Rabbi Yochanan, who learned it from wherever. If it was, if it was not, he didn't say anything about that because he wasn't sure. And that's why Chizkiyah is asking, what about that case? So you can't prove from Rabbi Yochanan's statement here because it didn't address that in-between case. All right, so we leave it at that and we get to the next question. Ba'er Rab Idebi Yirmiyah. Rakava Bamin Hai Akev Mahu. Let's say you have dust that comes from a heel of a person's foot. You see on a person's heel, they have old dry skin and it's like, or you know, kind of half dead already. Is that considered actually part of the body? Or is that thick, dried out skin considered like a foreign substance? And so would not, therefore should be considered like a foreign substance and like a mixture and would not be tameh as part of the dust of Rakav. That's a question. Okay. Ki gamrina Rakav aba mikulemet aba deatemina kevla odim ala lashena. Here's the two sides. When we say Rakav, that comes from any part of the body, even if it comes from the heel and you have a ladle full that comes from the heel, Then that would cause tumah, or it does have to come from the body itself. But if it comes from the heel, no, because the heel is already like dead skin; it's like not part of the body. Or do we say no? It doesn't matter, and the heel or any part of the body, if you have a dust worth of it, then it is tameh, and it's not considered a foreign substance. Okay, that's the two sides. Let's try to answer it. Tashema de taneh rabbi Natan, b'rabbi Oshea, rakav ba mishneh metim tameh. V'yisaka datecha ba min ha'akev la zil hachad dilma derech akev ka'ateh, v'hachad dilma derech akev ka'ateh. So let's try to learn that, in fact, the dust that comes from the heel is tameh. It's part of the body, because look, we say that a dust that comes from two metim, two bodies, right? If they disintegrated separately and they then were mixed together, we said it is tameh. Now, if you say that if it comes from the heel, then it's not tameh, well, how do we know which part of the body it came from, right? Let's go to this one, and maybe it came from the heel, and that one may came from the heel, and because it's from two bodies, so there's sufficient amount that you put it together, and it'll make a ladle full. So we doesn't specify that. You have to make sure that it's not from the heel. So it sounds like from the heel would be just is just fine. Fine meaning it is part of the body and would cause tumah. But we reject that argument. If the entire corpse decayed, and then we have some dust that came from the heel, then you're right. Since the dust from the heel disintegrated as part of entire body, yeah, then it's all one, and that much we can prove from this baraita. So we actually did get somewhere. But the question that he actually had was, if only the heel disintegrated, kind of a hit disintegrated first, heel first. And so now we know that all the dust comes only from the heel. So it's not really disintegrated as part of the whole body, but just from the heel, which I guess would disintegrate first because already so dried out. So then it's disintegrating a different rate as everything else. So do we consider that to be not quite, like a foreign mixture because it didn't disintegrate together with all the rest of the body? That was his question, and we leave that question standing. All right, next question. If a woman is pregnant and she dies and the body turns into dust, so do we consider the fetus to be a foreign substance? And therefore, since it's a mixture, then it would be tahor. It would not be tameh of rakav because there's a foreign body in it, right? And it's a fetus, is a foreign body. Or no, do we say the fetus is part of the mother? And so it does cause tum'ah. Interesting question. Kevan damar mor ubar yerech imo hilkach gufahu velahava galgalin. One side of it is, since we did learn, there's one opinion that says that a fetus is a part of the mother, right? It's a thigh of the mother. It's like another organ. And so, and you know, the mother has lots of organs, and the fetus is integrally, organically, just simply part of the mother, not its own entity. And therefore, since it's part of her body, so it would not be a foreign admixture. And therefore, the yirakav from the entire body, including the fetus, would be tameh. Or do we say this fetus is eventually going to come out and be its own person and not part of the mother? So it's, you know, it's there only temporarily. So you know, most of our organs are not just temporary. We need our hearts and livers for a long time. But this fetus is there just to grow for a bit and then it's going to leave. So therefore, we consider it as if it already left. And it is a foreign substance, and therefore the dust from the mother and the fetus would be considered a mixture and not tameh. That's the two sides. And now we ask upon that. And if we consider the fetus like a separate being, because it is going to leave eventually, and therefore would not be tameh. And what about shichva zera b'me'a isha mahu? Right. What about semen that is within the mother that did not impregnate her? That's it's just there and it's going to remain there or become absorbed in her body eventually. Do we say since it did not form a fetus, so if it formed a fetus, then the fetus would be its own entity and be an admixture. But since it did not form its own fetus, so now this is part of the mother, and therefore, when she dies together with that zera within her, that's all considered part of her body. Or do we say, or because it came from outside, came from her husband, so that's a foreign substance. And even though now it's inside her, and you know, maybe it'll wash out, maybe it'll be absorbed within her, but since it came from outside, it's considered a foreign substance, and therefore, or the dust mixture of it would be tahor. Okay, so we have a lot of questions. We're going to build more. Ba'era papa pirsha mahu. Regarding a person's excrement within their intestines, right? Person dies, and then you know they have excrement within them, and then the body disintegrates with this excrement inside it, which also disintegrates. Is that considered a mixture, or is that considered part of one's body? On the one hand, you could say a person cannot live without food, so that food is an essential part of one's body. Or you say, well, this came from outside. A person ate food and, you know, absorbed some of the nutrients, but the rest of it is just went down through the digestive tract and is going to turn into excrement and is going to leave, right? So what do we consider all that stuff within that digestive tract? It's really actually a good biological question, because there are something like 50 trillion bacteria in our gut, as many as cells in our whole body. So, you know, you can consider our gut to be a foreign substance, but we actually need it to live. And so maybe you could say it's part of our body. And so, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship. We need those bacteria as much as those bacteria need us. So who is hosting whom, right? Who is the body and who is the foreigner? So these are really good philosophical and, you know, real questions at the Gemara is also getting into, right? The food within our body, is that actually part of our body, or something that's simply passing through? Even though it's technically inside us, it's still in the digestive tract, so not quite totally inside us. Okay, next question. What about skin? Right, we know the flesh and bones, those cause tuma, but how about skin? And therefore, if skin disintegrates, then would the skin be considered a foreign admixture, and therefore not tameh? And what about phlegm and spit? Is that considered a foreign substance? And so that would make the dust that's mixed with it tahor, or is that all part of the body? אמר לרב שמואל בר אחל רב פפאביסא כדתך כהן דקאמר הווה גלגלין דקב דמטמא הכי משכחת לה. Okay, we're not answering any of these questions, but we have just a more basic question. If you think that all of these are foreign mixtures, then how can you ever have a case of rakav that would actually be tameh? After all, right, any corpse is going to have skin and spit and excrement. I mean, you can get rid of all these things, and since you can't get rid of all these things, and it's always going to be a mixture like that, so if you say that these are all foreign substances, then you can never have a case of rakav. So therefore, you can prove from that these things must actually be part of the body, integral part of the body, and their dust is considered tameh. That's his proof. However, we answer, no, well, it's theoretically possible to, in fact, get rid of all these things, even though the process is going to be quite extreme. As you'll see, Dashkeyu medekalim v'sachya nasha ushkalo beme tiberia. If we give this person this palm water to drink, which is a powerful laxative, and they'll get rid of all the excrement that's inside him, and also they'll rub him with a depilatory to get rid of his hair, and also they'll boil the body in the hot springs of Tiberia, which are quite hot, and that boiling will remove the skin. Okay, gross, but anyway, the point is that theoretically, at least, might be possible to, in fact, get rid of all the skin and the hair and excrement, and then have just flesh and bones, and that's how you would have dust of without any foreign admixtures. So it is at least possible that all these things might be, in fact, foreign to the body itself. Okay, Amar Abaye, Naktinan meche techano en lo rakav. Ibaye lehu techano vechazar vehikvirkib mahu. Abaye says, we know, we have a halacha that this dust has to be from disintegration. If it comes from grinding, right, someone takes a skeleton and grinds it up and makes dust, that dust will not have this kind of rakav impurity, right? It has to be a whole body that disintegrates into dust. Okay, so that we know. But here's the question. What if someone took a body, right, that recently died and grinds it up, kind of like ground meat, and then it turns into dust at that point, after that. So would that dust be considered rakav and tameh? Midihu tama ela deika basar vegidim vasamot vehika odima kebriyato ba'inan veleka teku. Do we say that the reason for the halakha that rakav is tameh is because it has all three of the categories that we mentioned before? There is flesh, there are sinews, there are bones, and they're all there, even though it's all ground and mushed together. I told you it might be gory. But there is all three categories, and therefore when body that was ground turns into dust, that dust does cause tumah? Or do we say, no, it has to be the way it was created, its initial state, right, as a body, right, with, you know, that looks normal, and it just disintegrates naturally, and only then is it rakav that's tameh, and here, since you deformed it so much, so then that's not considered rakav, and we leave that question standing. All right, last section. Tanei ula bar hanina meche chaser en lo rakav velo tifusa velo shechunat kebarot. If the body is missing a part, it's missing a limb, so then we do not apply the law of rakav, and that dust has to be from a whole body and not from a partial body. It also, we will not have the law of tifusa. That means if you have a corpse and you need to move it, so you have to take some of the earth that's around it as well, together with the body. However, if the body is not whole, is missing a part, then you don't have to do that. The third law is that if you have three graves that are all arranged together, then you have to assume, oh, this must be a cemetery, and you have to look around for other bodies, and you can't move them. But if one of those bodies are missing a limb, then it does not have this strict stringency of being called that this is an area of a cemetery. All right, so that's the relevant ones about rakav. It has to be from a full body. We have a question. Metibe lo ima marta bemet she yesh lo rob veroba o melo tarvad rakav. Tomar behai she en lo lo rob velo roba velo melo tarvad rakav. Here we're quoting a piece from a Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. That's talking about a kezayit min hamet. A kezayit of a dead body does cause a tumat met. But what about a kezayit from a live body? Meaning like if a person lost a limb and now you have a kezayit of that flesh. Does that cause tumah or not? So the Mishnah says, well, no, it shouldn't, because regarding a dead body, there we have the rule of rov, like a majority of the of its structure causes tumah, or rova, right? A rova hakav of its bones causes tumah, and a ladle full of rakav causes tumah. All those things are true in a met, so therefore it makes sense also that a kezayit min amet would cause tumah. So, but should we apply that? Meaning we should not apply that to a live body where there's no law of its majority of its body or a rova hakav of its bones or the law of dust. It does not apply to a live body. And therefore, therefore, kezayit min amet also should not apply and will not cause tumah. So let's analyze this Mishnah. Hechidami, de irkib had eber, de chvate gabe met, afilo had eber ikarakav. So how could this be? How could you have any kind of dust or a kezayit? How could you have a kezayit from a live body? It must be that there was a limb that was amputated from the live body, and then you have a kezayit of that limb. And so that kezayit will not have any laws of a majority and not of dust and so on. And so if that's true of the Sefa, the Resha must be the same case. And so the Resha is talking about a body that has a limb missing or detached. And so regarding a met also, even if it's just one limb. And yet it says here that a dead body has a law of dust impurity, even if it's just a limb. In other words, we prove from the Sefa that we're talking about a limb from a live body, and therefore the Resha also should be a limb from a dead body. And so a limb has the law of dust, and even though it's just a limb, so it's certainly not a whole body. And this challenges the statement of Ula Bar Chanina that if a body is missing any part, then we do not apply the tumah of rakav. So how are you going to answer that? And the answer is hakamash malan shum met yesh lo rakav, shum hai en lo rakav. In fact, the Resha is talking about a whole body. And the Sefa is talking about a limb from a live body. We're not talking about the same case. And when we say rakav, what we mean is that there is a case of a dead body where we would have the law of dust impurity, where it's a whole body that disintegrates, and then you have a ladle full of dust, then there is. But you're right, if it was missing a part, then you would not have dust impurity. However, in the case of a living person, there is never a law of rakav, no matter what. It's impossible to have it. So that we just mean that in general, regarding a dead body, we do apply, in some cases, the laws of rov and rova and melo tarvad rakav. But you're right, indeed, that if it was missing a piece, then we would not apply the law of rakav. Good. Ba'erava hirkib keshehu chai v'chazar umet mahu. All right, we just established that if a limb of a body from a live person disintegrated, turned into dust, it would not cause tumah. But what if it turned into dust while the person was alive? Right, he had a arm amputated or something, and then afterwards he died, and now the rest of his body turned into dust. Now can we say that it will all get put together? If that dust gets all put together and makes up a ladleful, do we say that that causes tumah, or are you going to call it a foreign substance because it was part from a body that was amputated from when he was before he was alive? Here's the two sides. When we have the law, when we learn the law of rakav that causes tumah, does that mean that it has to be disintegrated? His whole body has been disintegrated after he died, and that limb had disintegrated before he died, and so therefore it's considered a foreign mixture? Or do we say that, well, now he's dead and that the dust is there, and so now it's all one, right? Looking back now, it doesn't really matter if some of it disintegrated before he died and some after he died, and it does combine to create tum'ah. All right, that's Rava's question. Answer: Tashema lo ima marta bemet sheyesh lo rov veroba umelo tarvad rakav tomar behai. So quoting that Mishnah again, we just saw that the kezait min hamet should cause tum'ah because a met also has a majority in the roba hakav and has the law of dust, and that does not apply to a live person. So let's infer from this passage: tama mishum hai hamet yesh lo rakav, only because the person is right now alive. That's why it does not have the tumah, the tumah of rakav. But once the person dies, then he would have the tumah of rakav. So we can learn from the Mishnah that yes, after the person dies, you take that the dust from his arm that was severed when he was alive and put it together, and yes, it would all cause tum'ah. Is that a good proof? And we answer, mikatane ha met ha kamashmalan de shum met yesh lo rakav shum hai en lo rakav. Was the Mishnah talking about this particular dead body? In other words, you can't infer from the Mishnah that we're talking about someone who lost a limb and that disintegrated, and then the rest of the body, the rest of him died and disintegrated, and so yes, it all come together because now it's all dead. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about the same person that lost that and all died. Rather, the Mishnah is just speaking in generalities that there is a case of a body that where the dust of a dead body where the dust causes tum'ah, and that would be where his entire body dies at the same and disintegrates all together at once. And there is no case of someone alive that would have that would have tum'ah of rakav. But you can't learn from this Mishnah a case where a person lost a limb and disintegrated, then he died, and the rest of him disintegrated and is combined, right? Just because the Braita says bameh, that we can say, oh, as long as he's dead, that will combine. No, we're not necessarily talking about this, but all cases of anyone dead that there is rakav. The tumah of rakav occurs in some cases of a person that died, but not in all cases of a person that died. And so we leave this question also without an answer. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.